Hey, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf mem tes, and may our learning serve as a merit. Yili nishmas meira chai nechama bracha leah shalom bas David Mordechai. We are on the very top, I believe, of mem tes amud aleph at the two dots. Going back to the Mishnah said, "Basim and atachton at shaloba elyon." If there was the lower sign before the top sign, so then she's an adult. She can do chalitza or yibum. But ba elyon at shaloba atachton. If the top sign came without the lower sign coming, in other words, her breasts formed but she didn't have any hairs. So the way the Gemara explains, even though the Chachamim hold that that's an impossibility, Reb Meir holds it is a possibility, and Reb Meir says, "Lo chaletzis v'lo masiya bemes." She's a minor; she can't do chalitza or yibum. However, Chachamim say she's an adult. "Lo chaletzis o masiya bemes," because the Chachamim say, "Efshar l'tachon lavad shlo ba elyon." You could have the lower sign without the top sign. You can't have the top sign unless you first had the lower sign. So even though here, it doesn't seem to be the lower sign. Really, the lower sign was there, but it fell out. That's what the Mishnah said. So this line, that you can't have a top sign without a lower sign first, is repeated twice. It's repeated once as part of the statement of Reb Meir, even though the Chacham disagree with this, and they think, you can have, it's impossible to have a top sign without a lower sign. Rabbi Meir disagrees. And then it's said again as the view of the Chachamim. So the Gemara asks, why do you need to say it twice? So that's what we're up to. The two dots here on Mem Tes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said, Chachamim say she's an adult. Because they said, if she could have the lower sign without the top sign. But you can't have the top sign without first having had the lower sign. Ask Gemara, Asu Lamali. This, again, right? This, further, why do I need it? Hatanale Reisha. It was already said in the beginning. It said in the beginning, Rabbi Meir disagrees, but the Chacham hold that it's an impossibility. Bechitim, if you're going to tell me the reason why it's repeated, Mishum de Kabayla Mistama Karabanan. Because first, the Mishnah has an argument. Then you just have the Mishnah without saying whose opinion is what. That's what we call the Stam Mishnah, the Mishnah without attribution. And halacha is like a stam mishnah. Halacha is like whatever you have without attribution. So the mishnah wanted to tell you halacha is like the rabbanim. I didn't need to do that. Pshita, it's obvious. Yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. When you have a minority view, the view of Rabbi Meir against the chacham, the majority view, of course the halacha is like the majority. That's the Gemara. The reason why the mishnah had to repeat it. The Mishnah had to repeat this point, that Allah is like the Chacham. Now the Talmud would have thought to say, Mistabra Taimad Reb Meir. Reb Meir here is the one who's correct, even though he says that it's possible to have a top sign without a lower sign, because I would say to come a Sayalei Krai, because he has Psukim supporting him, as we had yesterday. The Pasuk says, Shadayim Nachonu, your breasts were prepared, and then Visarech Tzimek, and then your hair grew. So I would think that he has a pasuk supporting him, that you can have the top sign without the lower sign. That's why Kamash Malan, that's why the Mishnah had to repeat, to tell me that Allah is not like Rabbi Meir. The Ibra Yaseiman, if you want, I can tell you another point. Why did, again, the Tana repeat that it's impossible to have the lower sign? It's impossible to have the top sign without the lower sign. Because we're going to have now a series of Mishnayos in today's daf of similar laws where you have two things and you can't have one without the other. Well, since it's going to teach you other things where you can't have one without the other, it began it by introducing, by repeating again. According to the Chachamim, you can't have the upper sign without the lower sign. And it goes back to say, now they're following other things also, you can't have one without the other. I mean, the Facebook's not working. It's done.
Saying I'm able to connect.
Okay. Okay, so now the next Mishnah. We move on to a new topic, to the topics of Tumas Kalim, utensils that become impure, utensils that become pure. What level of utensil do you need to hold the water of Paraduma? All right, that's a new topic. Kayotze Bo, similar to the last law that we just said, according to the Chachamim, you can't have a top sign without a lower sign. We have a similar series of laws. Kayotze Bo, similar to this. Kol kli cheresh u'machnes. Any earthenware utensil has such a big hole that when you put the earthenware utensil into a pool of water, the water comes into the utensil. The crack is so big that it will bring water in. Certainly is motzi. Certainly that's a crack that's big enough that if you had water in the utensil, the water will leak out of it. If you have a hole big enough on the bottom of a utensil that were you to put this cup with the hole in the bottom into a big bowl that has water, water is going to come in from the bottom. Certainly that type of a hole is big enough that were you to have water inside the cup, the water would leak out. However, yesh, you could have the other way though. You could have a hole, shemotzi, you could have a crack that will bring water out, but eino machnis, it's not big enough to take water in. So that you could have. You could have a very small hole, and a very small hole will let water leak out, even though it's not going to bring water in. So therefore, if you see that there is a hole that's bringing water in, certainly that's a hole that would take water out. But the fact that you see that there's a hole that allows water to leak out doesn't mean that that hole would bring water in. All right, that's one similar law where one thing certainly means the other thing, right? So if you have a lower sign, that's not a proof that you have the top sign. But if you have the top sign, it is a proof that you have the lower sign. So similarly, we're saying if you have a hole in a utensil that brings water out, certainly that's a hole that would bring water in. But a hole that brings water in is not necessarily a sign that the water would leak out. All right, next law. Kol aver, any limb, extra limb in a person. Let's say a person has six fingers instead of five. Sheyesh bo tzipor, and if this sixth finger has a nail to it, yesh bo etzem, it certainly has a bone to it. And therefore, it's considered a full limb, and it would create tumas mace. If it's from a dead body in a tent, it would make an impurity to everything else that's in that tent, even though it doesn't have necessarily an olive size amount of flesh. It's still a full limb, because if it has a fingernail, it certainly has a bone, and that could create tumas mace. However, yesh yesh bo etzem, but you can go the other way. You could have an extra limb that has bone, vein bo tziporen, but doesn't have fingernails. And if it doesn't have fingernails, it wouldn't be considered a full limb. And if it wouldn't be considered a full limb, if it was in a tent, it wouldn't create tuma unless it also had a kazayas, an olive worth of flesh.
In a tent, what? Alive or dead?
No, dead. Dead. From a dead
so
body.
What's the difference between that and a regular person? Dead regular person.
Well, because we've learned that when you have in a room, right, under the same roof or in the same tent, when you have either a kazayas menames, an olive worth of flesh from the dead body, or an aver shalem, a complete organ, complete limb, it can create tuma. So we're saying if you have this extra limb and it had a fingernail to it, and it certainly had a bone to it, and it's a complete limb. But if there was an extra limb that didn't have a fingernail to it, it only had a bone, you don't see the fingernail, and there was no fingernail. And then it's not a complete organ, and you need to have a kazayas in order to create tumas ohel.
So the nail makes it a complete limb.
The nail is a sign that it's a complete limb that it has bone too.
So even if it's smaller than a kazayas.
Correct.
An organ couldn't transfer an organ, carry an organ from one hospital to another.
Right. That's true. To save a life, you could overrule the laws.
But the life is overruled, no, Rabbi?
Unless there's somebody else who can do it. To take it.
Just sit.
Okay, so we had so far two laws, right? One is the law in regards to kelim. If it's machnis mashke, if the hole in the utensil is so big that it brings in liquid, it would certainly be motzi mashke. Like we're saying here with a woman, if she has the upper sign, she certainly has the lower sign. But if it's the other way, she has the lower sign, she may not have the upper sign. If it causes liquid to come out, it may not be machnis, it may not be necessarily bringing liquid in, it may not be big enough to bring liquid in. And then we said a similar law is that when you have an extra finger, chas v'shalom, on somebody's body, and that person is dead, so if on that extra finger there is a fingernail, then there is also bone. Then that is considered a full organ. Yeah. It can create some mas'ohel. But if that extra finger doesn't have a fingernail, then maybe it also doesn't have a bone, right? So if all one saw was a bone, it may not have a fingernail. If it only had a bone, it's not complete, and it wouldn't create some mas'ohel unless it was a kezias, unless there was a kezias of flesh.
Cartilage, does it qualify as bone or no?
I don't think so. I think it's called gidin. It's called sinews.
So, like the nose, for instance, that would be.
There's no bone there?
I think the tip, I think it's the
tip. The tip, yeah, I don't think the tip is a bone. So now we're going to talk about Tumah Zav. We know that if somebody has a discharge of gonorrhea, he can create Tumah both by touching something or by sitting on something. What he sits on becomes Medrash HaZav, that which the Zav treaded on, and that is an Av HaTumah. So now the Mishnah tells us the following. Kol Amitame Midras, a chair, a bed, a sheet, a blanket. So those things are normally sat on. So if a Zav sits on them, even if he sits, let's say, on five blankets, so then all five blankets, even the ones that he's not touching, become a Medrus HaZav. So all those things that can become Tame as Medrus HaZav, things that are normally laid on or sat on. Mitame Tumas Meis, if those things were in the same tent as a dead body, or those things touched a dead body, they are kalim, and they can become tame with tumas meis. However, the yeshem tame tumas meis, but then you have certain things that can become tame tumas meis if they're in the same room as a dead body or touched by a dead body, but ain't a mitame medris, but they would not become tame as a medris hazav, as the Gemara will explain. Let's say a measuring cup. So a measuring cup is used to measure items. Measure how much flour you need to put into the big bread, how much oil you need to put in. But if someone were to sit on a measuring cup, we'd say, hey, get up. That's not a seat. We need that measuring cup for something else. So a utensil that does not get used as a seat cannot become tamei medrus, but it's still, because medrus means it became the seat of the zav. It's normal for the zav to sit on it, and it became the seat of the zav. But if you have something which is not normal to be used as a seat, it can't become tame medris, even though it could become tame with tumas meis. And that's the point again. Here's a third example of something which one way, if it's able to become tame medris, it certainly could become tame meis. But if it's able to become tame meis, it's not necessarily able to become tame medris. Let's say a measuring cup can become tamei meis, but it can't become tamei medrus, because if a zav sits in it, we just tell him, get up. It's not a seat, it's not a chair. So it doesn't become a medrus hazav. So again, three cases. First, the laws of holes in earthenware utensils. Then the laws of body parts that create impurity. And finally, the law of what can become tamei medrus, which is similar to the law of the adulthood of a woman. If there's the lower, then you know there's the upper. But if there's the upper, I'm sorry, if there's an upper, you know there was a lower. But if there's a lower, not necessarily was there an upper. Okay, next Gemara, says the Gemara, talking about holes in utensils. Machnis, if you have a very big hole in an earthenware utensil, so that when you put it into a bowl, which has water in it, the water comes in. What's that disqualified for? Pasul mechatas. It can't be used to hold the spring water, which you're going to mix with ashes of paraduma. Because if this has such a big hole, it's not called a kli anymore. It's not called a utensil. And therefore, that's what there's such a big hole, a hole that's machnes mayim, that brings in water, cannot be used, doesn't have the shame kli, is not called a kli anymore. It can't be used for mechatas. Similar law. If you have such a hole, which is, if there's such a big hole in this thing that the water would come in, if you put the water, put it into a bowl, it's also pasul mishum gistera. It's pasul, and it no longer has the status of a clay cheres. It no longer has the status of an earthenware utensil. Gistra means a shard of an earthenware utensil. Sometimes, if there was a hole in a, let's say, a bowl, they would bring a broken bowl and they would put it there like a
covering.
Not like a covering, like a fixing thing, like a patch. It was like a way to patch it up with this other piece. So a gistra, a broken piece, also has the status of a utensil because it can be used as a patch to repair another utensil. But if this gistra itself has a hole in it big enough that water would come in, it doesn't have the status of a gistra anymore, and therefore it wouldn't be a utensil, wouldn't become tameh as a utensil.
So any tool with a hole in it where water can come in and out is no longer considered a utensil.
No, water coming out is different. We're saying water coming in is different because it's a bigger hole. Now the Mishnah says, motzi, if you have a utensil which has a small hole, so now liquid will drip out of this utensil, kasher lemechatas, it's still a utensil, so you can use it to put in the spring water to then put in the ashes of para aduma. It be considered mixing in a utensil. However, also pasul mishum gistra. It's also no longer considered a utensil piece. It's no longer a patch, because if there's any hole at all, and this is starting off in something which is already broken, a piece of earthenware, it's already broken, and then it gets a little hole in it, that's already not going to be used at all as a gistra, and it's possible to be a gistra. It's not a utensil at all. It doesn't become tummy at all.
You're saying that the ball that we do not collect the diamond has a hole in it. It cannot be done.
That's a good point. Yeah, it depends how big the hole is, right? If the hole is,
cannot do not collect the diamond.
If there's a hole in the bottom big enough for you, for water to come in and out, no, you couldn't do it.
So the same idea with this, the top of the soda bottle. You put a hole in it. The hole is so small that the water really can't come in. It hasn't served the purpose of ruining the utensil.
Well, because maybe the top of the soda bottle is itself a gistera. It's just a broken piece. It's not a whole utensil.
Well, that's a whole different thing. But some people think it's a hole by that it's utensil, so they put a hole in it. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying if you put such a small hole in that no hole, that water really couldn't get into it, then
maybe
then
maybe that doesn't work, right? Maybe that doesn't work. Rav Asi said, Shonin, the Tanaim have a tradition like this. Kli cheres, and you have an earthenware utensil with a hole in it. Shi'uro bekones mashka. Let's say you have an earthenware utensil that was tameh. If you make a hole in it big enough that water is going to come in, now it's no longer tameh. Below Amru, they didn't say motzi mashka, that as long as it causes a little bit of liquid to drip out, it becomes tameh, it becomes tahor. El inyan gistra bilvad. Only in regards to an earthenware utensil that's starting off as a broken piece. If it's a broken piece, then when it has even a little hole that just causes a leak to come out of it, that's already not going to be considered an earthenware utensil at all. My time, why is that so? Abba Marzucha, Breder of Nachman, Abba Marzucha, the son of Rav Nachman, explained, why is a gistera, a broken piece of an earthenware utensil, considered a utensil? The fee, shein omam, have a gistera, the gistera, because it gets used as a patch. Let's say you have a leak in your big utensil. You bring this piece from the earthenware utensil that was broken, and you patch the leak. But if the patch itself has a little hole in it from which, you know, things are going to come out. So what are you going to do? Bring a patch to the patch? That people don't do. And they're not going to use it at all. They'll just bring the second patch. So therefore, once a gistra, once you started with a broken piece, any little hole in it, even a hole that just causes a leak, would already remove it from having the status of a kli and would make it tahar. All right, so now we're going to see multiple ways of how you check utensils to see how big the hole is in them. Kate said, both can play cheres. How do you check an earthenware utensil? Whether the hole is big enough for liquids to come in. Imlav or not, it's not big enough to bring liquids in, but it is big enough to take liquids out. So proposal number one, Yavi Areva, bring a big bowl. Malaya Mayim, filled with water. Nosin Kedera L'socha, and put the pot into the bowl. I put the earthenware utensil into the bowl and see if the water comes in to the utensil. Im kansa, if the water does come in, biyadua, then you know, shakone smashke, that it brings in liquid. And therefore, if it brings in liquid, it's not a utensil at all. Can't use it for para aduma waters, and it's tahar. Imla, but if it doesn't bring water in, but it has a hole in it, so then biyadua, then you know that this little hole is shemotzi mashke, will cause a leak, cause water to come out, but wouldn't bring water in. All right, that's proposal number one. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is like this. If I take a utensil, right, and I push the utensil into the bowl that has the liquid, when I'm pushing the utensil in, that pressure is pushing the liquid into the utensil. So therefore, he has a different approach. What does he do? He says like this. Kofef aznek deir lesocha. He turns over the handles of the pot into the bowl before he put water into the bowl. So he has a big bowl. He takes the pot, he puts it down like this into the bowl. Then he puts the water into the whole thing. And then, meitzif aleamayim, he pours so much water into the big bowl until the water is floating on top of the pot. Now here, because he's turned the pot over, the hole in the bottom of the pot, only once the water surrounds it will water maybe go in, but you don't have pressure pushing on the water to make the water go in. And now, imkones, if water that what you fill into the bowl goes into the pot, biyadua, that is a kones mashka, then you know that the hole in the pot is big enough to bring in water. Vimla, but if the water is not coming into the pot, then you say this hole on the bottom of the pot is motzi mashka, is enough to be a leak, but not enough. It's enough to take water out, but not enough to bring water in. And therefore, it could still be used as a utensil for para aduma. A third possibility, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, another way you can do it is you take this pot with the hole in the bottom and shof sal gabe ya'ur, and you put it on top of a flame. Put it on top of a flame, where on an oven, on a range, so the heat of the flame would not allow, you know, the flame will sort of rewarm the earthenware. So if you put this earthenware on a flame and you have a little hole in it, so then this very small hole, a hole that would only allow for a leak, is going to close in the flame. It's not going to get any water out. Or ma'amida, if the fire prevents the water at all from coming out, then biyadua, then you know that this was a very small hole. It's only a motzi mashke. It's only a hole that would take water out. It's only a leak. V'imla, but if, even though it's on a flame, water is still coming out, then you know it's not a small hole, it's a big hole. Biyadua machnes mashke. Not only is it a hole that would be a leak, that would take water out, it's also a hole that would bring water in. So far you had three proposals how you check a utensil to see if the hole is big enough to bring water in, or it's a small hole that only brings water out. You either put it into a bowl that's filled with water, or you put it, you overturn it, put it into the bowl, and then fill the bowl with water, or you put it on top of a flame, and if the flame is not going to have any water coming out of it, that means there's a very small hole, a leak hole. And if there's still water coming out, despite it being on a flame, that means it's a big hole. It's a hole that brings in water, not just a hole of a leak. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Now, opinion, fourth proposal. Rabbi Yossi says, Af lo shofsa al gabe ha'or. He doesn't even put it on top of the fire. Ibnei sha'ur ma'amida. Because the fire can certainly prevent the water from coming out, even if it's a big hole, apparently a fire would make that hole close and prevent water from coming out. The check is el shov sal gabi aremetz. He puts it on top of boiling hot ash. When you have coals and ashes and that coals, you put it on top of that. Imremetz ma'amiza, if the boiling hot ash would prevent the water from coming out, biyadua motzi mashka, then you know it's a small hole, it's only a hole of a leak. V'imlavet, if the hot ash doesn't prevent the water from coming out, the water is still coming out, biyadua shakones mashka, then you know it's a big hole, it's a hole that brings water in. All right, now another possibility, a fifth possibility of how to check whether the size of the hole. Haya tore tipa achar tipa. If the hole is causing water to come out constantly, drip after drip, then be a dua, then you know it's big enough that it is kone smashke, that it brings water in and not just leaking water out. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ika, what's the difference between Tanakama l'Rev Yehuda? In other words, why did Tanakama say you fill the bowl with water, then you put the pot in and you see, does the water come in? Versus Rabbi Yehuda says, you have an empty bowl, you put the pot in upside down, and then you fill it with water. So the Gemara explains, Amar Ula Kinos La Yedea Tzchak Ika Beinayu. They're arguing about whether water is going to be coming in because you're pressing the water down, and whether that's considered Kone Smashke, a hole that brings water in, or that's not something that's considered Kone Smashke. According to the Tanakhama, Kinos La Yedea Tzchak, when you're bringing water in because you've pressed down on it, that's also called bringing water in. However, according to Behuda, Kinos Kone Smayim has to be that the water comes in on its own, not that through your pressure the water was brought in. Therefore, you have to have an empty bowl, put the pot in upside down, and then fill it with water.
I don't understand that. Why can't they pick it up and look to see if there's any light on the other side of it?
They could. I'm sure that's what they began with, but then they don't know. Maybe that's a very small hole that's only a leak. It's not a hole that's going to bring water in. It has to be a hole big enough to bring water in to totally lose the status of a utensil. All right, then the Mishnah went on to talk about limbs, an extra limb of a dead body. And it said, Kol Eiver, right? Any limb, Sheyeshbo Tziporen, that has a fingernail, then Yeshbo Etzemos has a bone. And on the other hand, though, a limb that Yeshbo Etzemos, a limb that you see in it, a bone, doesn't necessarily have a fingernail. Mar now explains, why is this necessary? Yesh bo tziporen. If this extra limb, you see a fingernail on it, then you know there's also a bone to it. Therefore, it's considered a full limb. Mitami b'maga. It would create tumah if a person touches it. B'maso, if a person carries it. And it creates tumah b'oel if it's in the same tent as a person. But then the Mishnah said, yesh bo etzem. But if you see in this limb, if you see in this extra limb a bone, that doesn't mean that there is a fingernail to it. And therefore, if there's only the bone, you don't see any fingernail, it would create tumah through touching or through carrying, because there's a bone here. The bone is the size of a barley seed. But it wouldn't create tumah, it wouldn't create impurity by being in the same room. Rav Chizda said, Davar zeh, this matter, Rabbeinu Agadol Amaro, our great teacher Rav said it, Hamakom Yeh Be'ezro, God should help him, Etzba Yaseiru, if a person has a sixth finger, Sheyesh bo etzem, and in that sixth finger there's a bone, but ein bo tziporen, but it doesn't have a fingernail, and then this extra finger came off of the person. Netami b'maga, it creates tumah through touching it. Uve masa, and it creates tumah through carrying it. But ve'eno metame ba'oel, but it doesn't create tumah through being in the same tent, because you can only create tumah of being in the same room if it's a full organ, a full limb, and without fingernail, it's not full. Amar Rabba bar Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Chanan said this law is ukishenin esperes al gabe hayad. When this extra finger is not, you know, aligned with the other fingers of the hand. So then we say if it doesn't have a fingernail, it's not a full limb. But if it's aligned with the other fingers, then it is considered part of the hand. In the same way those fingers are full limbs, this finger is a full limb even without a fingernail, and it could create tumah in a room even without the fingernail. All right, then the last law that the Mishnah gave, where if it's one way, it's certainly the other way, but not the other way will be this first way, was in regards to utensils. If the utensil can become tamei medris, in other words, if it's a chair or a bed or a blanket or a pillow or a sheet or a bed cover, right, things that people normally lay or sit on. So those things that people lay or sit on, if a zav sits on or lays on, becomes a medris. And if the tamei meis touches, becomes tamei. So whatever can become tamei medris can become tamei meis. But then there are things that can become tamei meis, a measuring cup, I don't know, a yad to read from a Sefer Torah. These are utensils, but they're not sat on normally. So then they could become tamei meis. They can't become tamei medris. If a zav were to sit on them, they wouldn't become tamei medris. So the Gemara explains this point. Again, the Mishnah said, "Tala metame medris, whatever can become tame as a medris can become tame as tumas meis, but not everything can become tame as tumas meis can become tame as medris." Says the Gemara, "Called the chazi medris, chazi la medris, whatever can become tame as medris, namely it's a chair, a utensil which is a seating utensil. Metame tumas meis, it can also become tame if it's touched by a dead body, if it's in the same room as a dead body." But yesha mitame tumas meis. But there are things that can become tame tumas meis. Let's see, a measuring cup or a drinking cup. In mitame medris, but it can't become tame medris if a zav sits on it. Lasuye mai, what's that to include? Lasuye sav etarkev, to include the measuring cup to measure a sa or to measure half a sa. So these things are cups. These are utensils. They can become tame with contact with the dead body, but they don't become tame if a zav sits on them. The Tanya, as we learned on a brisa, the pasuk says, "Va'yoshev al kli asher yeshev alav hazav," and one who sits on the utensil that a zav normally sits on, yechabis begadav, he has to wash his garments, v'rachav b'mayim and tovel in the mikvah v'tamei erev and be tamei until the evening. Hayoshev al kli, someone who sits on a utensil, any utensil, yachol kafasa, guy takes a measuring cup, turns it over, v'yoshev alav, and then the zav sat on it. Will it become medris? Otaka, where he took something which measures half a sa, the yashaval, and he sat in it. Yeh tami, will the utensil become tami as medris? No. Tami, that's what the verse says. Asher yeshaval of a zav, a utensil that a zav would normally sit on it. Yishim yuchali yeshiva, that which is dedicated for sitting, normally used for sitting. Yatzazet, to exclude measuring cups. Shalom and lo, that if a guy is sitting on a measuring cup, they tell him, Amod v'nasim alachtenu, get up, we need to do our work. We need to use the measuring cup to measure things. So since it's not normally a chair, it can't become tummy as a medris, even though it could become tummy as Tomas Mace.
Even right. Though if he's wearing his garment, and let's say he put a towel on it and sit on it, it still gets go through?
The towel would become tummy medris.
The towel.
But not
the
cup. How
about his garment that he's wearing? Is going through that too?
No. The garment is touching him. He's not sitting on it. It's not his seat.
So I'm talking about the measuring cup. I'm talking about,
let's see. Oh, then the measuring cup could become tummy because it touched it. Yeah, it touched the measure.
Everything, everything becomes tummy.
Well, it becomes a lower level. The measure was an av. This is only a rishon.
But tummy is tummy.
Well, it depends for what. All right, next Mishnah. Kala roi lo dinin nefashos. Any sage who's big enough that he can judge matters of life and death. Mamonos can judge matters of money. But Yeshu Roli Dinin Mamonos. You could have someone who can judge matters of money, but Eino Roli Ladun Dinin Rishbashos. But he can't judge matters of life and death. Rav Yehuda said, Lasuye Mamzer. This is to teach you that a Mamzer can judge money issues, but he can't judge life and death issues. Ask Limar, why do I need a Mishnah and need it for it? I have a Mishnah in Sanhedrin about this. Tanina Chadazim, we learned this already one time. Akol Kshem Ladin Dinin Mamonos. Everybody can judge money issues. Vein Akol Kshem Ladin Dinin Nefashos. But not everybody can judge issues of life and death. Avinam Ban, we asked in the Gemara, Lasuye Mai, what's that to include? Ben Revita said, Lasuye Mamzer, that's to include a Mamzer. He can judge money issues, but not life and death issues. The President, we need both sources. Chad Lasuye Ger, one is to include A convert can judge money issues, but not life and death issues. V'chad lasuye mamzer, and the other is to include a mamzer who can judge money issues, but not life and death issues. V'tzrichan, I need both. V'yashmi'in, and if I wouldn't have only had one source, I would have said it's about a ger, it's about a convert. I would say, mishum d'roi lava bakal, because converts marry everyone. Avol mamzer ain't roi lava bakal, but a mamzer can't marry everyone. Amalo, maybe can't even judge money issues. Yes, mean a mamzer. If we would have told you the case of mamzer, mishim de kasmi tipak sheir, because he comes from Jewish seed. I will give the kasmi tipak sula, but a convert who comes from non-Jewish seed. Amalo, maybe he can't judge even money issues. Shlich, that's why I need both sources. These people can judge money issues, even though they can't judge life and death issues. Next law, kalakasha ladun. Anyone who's kasher to judge money issues. Kasher lahayid is also kasher to be a witness about money issues. But yeshu kasher lahayid, but there are those who can testify in kasher ladim, but they can't judge. Lasuye mai, what's that? Including on Rav Yochanan, lasuye suma ba'achas me'enav. If someone is blind in one eye, who money and who is this view? This is the view of Rabbi Meir, who says that if somebody is blind in one eye, even though he can be a witness, he cannot judge matters of money. Okay, stop here.